The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and rescues them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints, for to those who fear Him there is no want. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves length of days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all of their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Psalms 34, verses 7 through 19. Suffering is one of our greatest challenges to commitment to Jesus Christ. We want to do what's right. But when difficulties come in our lives, it's a challenge. We want to go to church. We want to say and do the right things. We don't want to do drugs. But when suffering comes, it challenges all of us to our commitments. But on the other hand, we can look at suffering a different way. Rather than a challenge to our commitment to Jesus Christ, it is an encouragement to seek our God even more. We are continuing our thoughts and our studies in regards to God's prescriptions for life's pains. C.S. Lewis said, "God whispers to us in our pleasures, but shouts in our pain." However old you may be, however long you have been a Christian committed to the service of Jesus Christ, you've been challenged. Some of us even more blessed that we've not faced any really severe suffering or pains or problems or in our life. I'm not a prophet, nor the son of a prophet, but I know a little bit about the Word of God, and I believe it teaches from cover to cover that sooner or later, you will suffer. You will have pain. You will have problems. And what are you going to do now? You're going to serve the Lord more and thank God for your pain? Or are you going to be of the attitude of Job's wife, curse God and die? You see, that's a challenge to all of us in our commitment to Jesus Christ. Why does God allow life's pains to continue? Is there a rhyme and a reason to it? And I think most of us, as we have thought about that, as children of God, I think we've tried to make sense of pain. We try to make sense of the difficulties that we encounter in our lives. And no, we don't have all the answers, and we don't know everything. But there are some things that God has revealed that might help us this morning. So we're so thankful for your presence today. Hope you have your Bibles and that you'll study with us from God's Word. We're talking about how God is such a help to us in our time of need. And it just might be that God allows difficulties and problems and pains to continue in our lives so that we might just search for Him more. Well, let's look at it and see. First, I'd like for us to think about that the difficulties of life and what God allows to continue just may be because of the consequence of sin in the world, period. And we've been discussing that, and we have talked about from the Garden of Eden how sin entered this world. God did not create evil. God did not create sin. God did not create the devil as an evil being. God did create all things good, Genesis 1 verse 31 says. The devil was created good, but he fell, as did other angels. Psalms 148 certainly teaches us that God, including the angels, created all things good. The devil's an angel. He's a fallen angel. Jude 6, 2 Peter 2, all talk about that very happening. You see, angels have a choice too. Some made the choice no longer to stay in heaven and serve God. God cast them out. But even at that, God uses evil. God has used the devil for His own purposes, for the good of man. However, God does not tempt us, brethren. We've talked about that. The Word of God teaches us that God cannot be tempted of evil, neither does He tempt any man. But each person, each of us, have our own lusts, have our own desires, have our own will, and we make a choice. God desires, through evil in this world, that it's a motivation to us to seek Him. We can use it as a crutch or an excuse to go further away. It's your choice. May I suggest to us that God allows evil to remain because it does accomplish His will and purpose for man. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, we've been studying on Sunday evenings and finished up the study of Joseph. Why did Joseph suffer for so much? Was it because of something Joseph had done? No. Did he suffer because of the sin of others? Yes. Was there a plan? God's plan was that Joseph go through all that he went through, to train him, to discipline him, to bring him to a point to where he could be of greater service to others. Why did God allow His Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer? Did God dislike Jesus? Did God not love Jesus? Or was there a greater plan and a purpose behind the suffering of Jesus for all of us? Why was Stephen, who is recorded in Acts chapter 7 as being one of these great orators of God, to preach and teach His Word and just astounded people with the Word of God as he proclaimed it? Why did God allow in such of the infancy, not only of the church, but of Stephen himself, to allow him to be stoned and put to death? Because you see, God had a greater purpose than in just one person. As a result of the killing of Stephen, the disciples were scattered from Jerusalem throughout the known world. And the gospel spread throughout the whole world, throughout the known world, because of the death of Stephen. You see, it just might be that we suffer because God is using us for the accomplishment and purpose of His will for others. And certainly, pain, evil, can humble us. The Apostle Paul was a highly educated man. He was zealous. He was a leader of Israel. He was a Pharisee among Pharisees. He was a Jew among Jews. And God humbled him. We find in the book of 2 Corinthians that the Apostle Paul addresses the very idea of the thorn in the flesh. And we've talked about that before. And it was a great burden to Paul. But it was God who said, "My grace is sufficient for you." God did not allow the thorn to be removed. Yet Paul, rather than blame God, rather than be bitter and angry at God, he says, "I take pleasure in infirmities." Why? Because it was in this infirmity that allowed him to be humble and to be more dependent upon God. You see, whatever we might be going through as Christians, whatever it might be that is a challenge to our faith, there's more than one way to look at why. There's more than one way to look at what do I do with it. I'm suggesting to us there are many biblical examples and characters that may at some point have asked, "Why me? Why does this have to be happening to me?" Do you know what the answer is? Why not you? You see, God is no respecter of persons. But yet God, He protects us and does not allow us to be tempted or tried above and beyond what we're able to endure. So understand this. If you're going through a great trial and difficulty, it's not that God is insensitive to your plot. He certainly is very sensitive to what you are going through. But understand this. When you go through such terrible, such heinous difficulties, God is saying to you, you are stronger than you realize you are. And you can handle this. But it's not about me. And it's not about you. It's about Him and His will. And through the evil and through the difficulties and through the problems, whatever they may be, I need to come on the other side of it humble and looking to God. God allows bad things to continue in our lives to discipline us. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, a passage that we looked at a little bit a few weeks ago, the passage is very helpful, I believe, when we talk about this topic, to again instruct us about the way God looks at things and the way we look at things. I remember growing up as a kid that when my parents disciplined me, at the time, being the oldest, being a boy, I thought my parents were extremely severe in their punishment. When my sister came along, they treated her like a little princess. They did not discipline her the same way they disciplined me. And for a while, that bothered me. Well, I learned that parents are not perfect because I became a parent. We have a boy. He needed the wrath of his father. We had a girl. She needed the love of her daddy. And sometimes you make bad choices on both ends. But our Heavenly Father loves us, and He is our Father, and we are His children. And He never, ever makes a bad choice. Listen to these powerful words, chapter 12, verse 5 of the book of Hebrews. "And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are approved by Him. For those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines, and He scourges every son whom He receives." Do not look at this passage in regards to discipline and correction just in terms of you've done wrong and God is spanking you. This passage is much more in depth than that. It even goes to the fact that sometimes our children ask for things that we would love for them to have, but we don't want them to have it because we feel like it would not be good for them to have it. Does it not, as a parent, break your heart to see your children cry and to be sad when all their friends have it, but we won't allow them to have it? Because we believe that in disciplining them by not allowing them to have this, that it will make them a better person without it. Been there and done that? Being a parent can literally rip your heart out when you do the right thing for your kids. Do your kids understand that? No. Will they ever understand it? When they become parents and make those same choices. Where do we as parents, where do we as children even understand all of that? Passages like Hebrews 12. Because of what God does for us. Verse 7, "It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we have had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they discipline us for a short time as seemed best to them, but He disciplines us for our good, so that we may share His holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness." You see the goal? God chooses to use evil, problems, trials, difficulties in this life to train us. Train us for what? To be stronger, to overcome, to learn discipline, to learn commitment, trusting God. You see, if we're not tested, if there's no difficulties, if there's no problems, there's no training, there's no correction, there's no looking to God in time of need. Do you need to look to God more? Do you need to trust Him more? Do you need to appreciate your Father more? Do you need to love Him more for all that He's given you and blessed you with? Do you know how He wakes us up to that? But the things which you suffer. He allows it to continue to prepare us for a greater blessing. James 5 and verse 11. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen of the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. You see, we cannot see beyond the end of our nose. I don't know what's going to happen this afternoon, this evening, tomorrow, next week, let alone next year. But the Father of our spirits knows all things. He knows what's best. The reality of it is, the ultimate end is, God is going to bless us greater than we can imagine, even though we suffer now. Was it not Lazarus who suffered all of his life that was carried into Abraham's bosom? Brother and sister in Christ, are we going to become bitter and angry at God because He's not given us everything we want? Do we in some way think that we deserve to be blessed even more than what we see our friends blessed with? Why didn't God give me all the money? Why didn't He give me all of the smarts? Why didn't He give me all of the looks? Why didn't He give me etc., etc.? Brother and sister in Christ, God wants ultimately for us to be in heaven with Him. Did I mention that He knows our limitations? Did I mention that He knows our weaknesses? You may not have all the money and all the power because God knew we couldn't handle it. He allows us to have what we have, to experience what we experience, to face what we face, and here is His goal for us. He wants us to ultimately be in heaven. And He's doing everything in His power, just this side of our free will, to help us get there. Rather than belittle and bemoan and fuss and gripe about all of our problems and all of our difficulties, we should be on our hands and knees humbly thanking God for what He has done for us, because He loves us and He's trying to get us to heaven. That's a mindset. And sometimes we just don't think the way God wants us to think. You know, there's a very, very strong reason why God allows things to go the way they go. It reminds us all that we're not going to be here forever. We make plans and we do whatever we do so many times because we have in the back of our mind, it seems, that we're going to live forever. We're not going to live forever in this life. But we are going to live forever in one of two places. And how you live your life now is going to determine where you spend your eternity. So people can hear sermons and they can listen to admonition. They can hear the reproof. They can hear the rebuke. They can accept exhortation. But all of that must be gathered and put into our hearts for this one purpose. I've got to prepare to die. And when I'm prepared to die, I'm preparing to live forever. Now you can do whatever else you want to do, however else you want to do it. But if that's not the number one thing in our lives, and all the evil and all the pain and all the difficulties of life, if it doesn't remind us of that point, I think we've missed what it's all about. I don't know why somebody's house burns up and they lose everything they've got. I don't know why all those people out in California have suffered what they've suffered. But I do know this. There is a God above who rules in the affairs of mankind. He will not be mocked. He will not be denied. And the things that He allows, however horrendous they be, He wants you to look to Him. And if you're not looking to Him, you've missed a powerful message from God Himself. When these kind of tragedies come to us, and they will, what do you do now? Number one, you need to talk to God. James said, "Is any among you suffering? Let him pray." And it's not, brothers and sisters, that it's just that we pray to God about our own selves. Do we not have any feeling for others? Received a very powerful message from Trimore, from Zimbabwe, late last night. Recently, he has once again asked and petitioned for help, for food, for brethren there in Zimbabwe. You know, they've gone through a horrendous thing politically. I think we've mentioned that unemployment is something up near 98%. 98% of the people have no jobs. There are many, many Christians there. They are suffering greatly. The note I received last night again, and I sent it to our elders. Trimore once again is begging and petitioning for help and prayers. Why does God allow that evil to go on? What does God expect me to do about the suffering of other people? Talk to God. Listen to God. My guess is in a few moments we'll dismiss and we'll go to our homes, we'll go to a restaurant, we'll eat too much. We'll eat so much and be so full. This afternoon we'll have to take a nap. Might it affect us just a bit to know that brethren that have faith in Jesus Christ just like we do, or they may be a different color, have a different society, live in a different part of the world, they won't do that today. Oh, they're worshiping God today. I've seen pictures and I've seen video of their worship services. And they are children of God just like we are. But they're suffering. Is there a purpose behind that? Just maybe God allows that evil to continue in that country. It's a blessing to us. Because our Lord said it is more blessed to give than to receive. This church has been blessed so greatly. And you have been so generous to give. Are you listening to God? Wait on the Lord is a common theme to simply refer to the idea of trusting God. Have you ever had someone to come up and tell you when you were going through a difficulty, everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to turn out just fine. Don't worry. It'll be okay. I've been in situations when people said that to me that I wanted to punch them in the nose. Y'all been there? I've had people say that to me when it meant a lot. So emotion is an important part of us going through those difficulties and even listening to reproving or rebuking or exhortation. But whether it's in our lives or it's in others' lives, the Lord will see to it that there's a blessing that comes from this. But you must wait on the Lord. And what does that mean? He'll do it in His time. He'll do it His way. All the time we see one another do things and we say, I wouldn't have done it that way. Or I wouldn't have said it that way. My wife rebuked me for my sermon a couple of weeks ago on the great physician when I said those that What would you think about a person that was in the lame man's position on the bed and God spoke to him, Jesus spoke to him that his sins were forgiven and for him to take up his bed and walk? And what if the man had responded, I don't want your forgiveness, I don't want your healing? You remember how I said, I said you'd be an idiot? My wife didn't like that word. Someone else reminded me that there are 64 other synonyms for idiot. Well, I guess if you'd been preaching that sermon, Mary Lou, you wouldn't have used the word idiot. What word did I use? Idiot. Did you all get the point? You see, preaching is not about using all the politically correct words. Well, I want to tell you something, even beyond our imagination. God's ways are not our ways. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. And the way God does things, the way God says things, the way God operates is just completely unfathomable in our hearts and our minds. That's why the admonition, wait on the Lord. Let the Lord take care of it because He loves all of us. Trust Him. Do not at any point in time take the commitment that you have made to Jesus Christ. Never ever wane. Never ever give up. Never ever stop serving Him because you're going through difficulties. God is speaking to us and saying through difficulties, do more. Do better. not stop. Spending time with brothers and sisters in Christ will help remind us again of the power of God allowing evil to continue in this world. Some of the people that I've come to know in my lifetime who are members of the church have gone through some of the most tragic difficulties that anybody has ever known of. And they are some of the sweetest, kindest, givenest people that you will ever know. And there are people that I know that are Christians who really, as far as I know, and as far as I've been able to witness throughout our association together, they've really gone through very little. And they are the most spoiled, bitter, conceited people I've ever met in my life. What's the difference? It's choice. Choice. Jesus Christ died for me. And He died for you. He suffered so much so that I could be blessed. God uses evil in this old world to bring about His purpose. So, maybe, just maybe, when we are suffering, maybe we should be getting on our hands and knees and thanking God for loving us so much to allow us to suffer. Sounds a little strange, doesn't it? We need to change our thinking, brother. We need to change our thinking. The one that said to the storming sea, "Peace, be still." It's the one that calls us, as the great physician, to heal all of your pains and difficulties. Lest we misunderstand that, God doesn't promise to take away the problems and the evil, but He promises to give us the peace to deal with it. Can you deal with it? Are you dealing with it? Suffering. One of the greatest hindrances to our commitment to Jesus Christ. Are you suffering? Come to the Lord. If you've never been baptized into Jesus Christ, your life may be filled with all sorts of shame and guilt and suffering. Come to the great physician. He will heal you. He will forgive you. He'll give you peace. If you're a child of God and you've just not handled your life as God would have you handle it, come back to Him. He'll grant you peace and forgiveness because He loves you so much. Talk to God. Listen to God. Wait on Him. You need Him every hour. Won't you come as we stand and sing?